Welcome to the Grace Abounding broadcast, sponsored by the Shreveport Grace Church here in Shreveport, Louisiana. I'm Pastor Ken Weimer, and it is my privilege to bring to you again the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, both in word and song. May God graciously bless this word to your heart as you listen.
The other day I was talking with an older gentleman who told me that back in his day when he was growing up, a man's word was his bond. And his point was that it wasn't necessary to sign any contract or to put anything in writing in many cases, simply because if a man said he would do something, he did it. In other words, his word was faithful. As I considered this in light of God's word is a faithful saying. And God has put it in writing for us to know and understand the things that are true concerning himself and concerning this matter of salvation. In fact, the Apostle Paul, in four different instances in writing to Timothy and then again to Titus, he speaks of these faithful sayings. Let me read these for you. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. Listen to this. It says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." And then Paul adds, "of whom I am chief." So that's a faithful saying, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Here's the second, over in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 8 and 9. It says, "But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." And then he adds in verse 9, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation." And then again in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul says, "It is a faithful saying." Now if you look back in verse 10, you understand a little better the context. He says, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." And then verse 11, "It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. And if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself." And then one final verse over here in Titus chapter 3 and verse 8. The Apostle Paul says, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that you affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." Now you might be asking, well, what do these four faithful sayings have to do with one another? Well, back here in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, where it says that Christ came into the world to save sinners, this lays the foundation of eternal salvation in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the free grace of God, in what Christ came to accomplish on behalf of those that God the Father has purposed to save. It's a faithful saying, what he's purposed to do and what Christ has accomplished shall be. And then the next verse confirms really a double blessing that is obtained through salvation, because not only is there blessing in this life with regard to what Christ has done for his people, but throughout all eternity. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 And verse 8, it speaks here of godliness that is profitable unto all things. Now, what is that godliness? Well, it's not a righteousness or godliness that man can work out, but it's what the Lord Jesus Christ himself has worked out in behalf of his people. And that righteousness is profitable unto all things. It's imputed to the believer's account, but it's revealed to him by the Spirit of God. And by that Spirit is given the promise of life. It says here that now is. I don't have to sit here and guess and wonder about these things, but God, having revealed Christ in my heart and knowing these things to be so according to his word, I have a hope. Not a hope-so hope, but a true hope in the Lord Jesus Christ and in that righteousness that he has worked out in my behalf. And it is not only what stands me in good stead in this life, but also that which is to come. And this is a faithful saying. So you see that connection. And then the third verse that I read to you from 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 11. Again, speaking of the work of Christ on behalf of the believer, it says, "For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him." Now, what does it mean to be dead with him? Well, that means when he died, I died. If I was chosen of the Father before the foundation of the world, and the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life for me, when he died, I died as my substitute. And my hope is that as he lives, so I shall live with him. You see, in every one of these faithful sayings, it pertains to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on behalf of the believer, and wherein his hope stands. And then the last verse that I read for you in Titus chapter 3 and verse 8, this is a faithful saying. "And these things I will that thou affirm constantly." He's speaking here to Titus as a preacher of the gospel, to set these things forth faithfully, that they which have believed in God. And what is it to believe in God? Well, it's to believe on his Son. It's to believe all that God has revealed pertaining to his Son as God himself, as the mediator, as the one who came and satisfied the justice of God the Father, that God might be just and declare sinners that he's purposed to save, to declare them just. And it says that those that have believed, this is a faithful saying, that they might be careful to maintain good works. Now, those aren't works that the believer produces in himself, but it's the works that are produced by the very grace of God in him, and that knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has accomplished. That's what produces in the believer these good works, and that's what he maintains. It's not his works, but it's the work of Christ. It says these are good and profitable unto men. In other words, everything that the true believer does, he does out of love and gratitude for Christ and because of his grace toward him. So we have the root of salvation in God's free grace. We have the privileges of that salvation, not only in this life, but in the life that is to come. And we have the great result of Christ's suffering for his people. That is a sure hope and a life of good works, a life of fruit that's produced by the Spirit of God. So I want us to consider these faithful sayings. Consider them as they're set forth in Scripture. And I want to particularly come back to this first one that I read at the beginning of the broadcast, 1 Timothy chapter 1. And verse 15, this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. If you don't understand the first, you'll never understand the rest of these faithful sayings. By God's grace, I'd like to explain the significance, the meaning of this particular faithful saying that God has given us in His Word pertaining to His Son. Please stay tuned.
Oh, how merciful, how merciful, blessed Lord, how merciful Thou art to me. Oh, how merciful, how merciful, blessed Lord, how merciful Thou art to me. When I examine that old rugged cross, the mighty gulf God did span. He reached way down to the brinks of hell when He took hold of my hand. I stand amazed.
Draw your attention now back to one particular text in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, where Paul says this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, if this was a friend speaking to you and saying this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, then you'd listen. Well, this is more than just a friend speaking. This is God Himself. This is His Word. And when God says of a particular statement, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, it is. We ought to give it the greatest consideration. In fact, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is called the glorious gospel of the blessed God. Oh, that men would hear and understand this. In 1 Timothy 1:11, that's how Paul refers to the gospel, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God. Someone said that could also be translated according to the gospel of the glorious God. And He is to be glorified. The gospel glorifies the God of glory. It glorifies His sovereignty. This is a faithful saying concerning the sovereignty of God, that He is God, a very God, and that He inhabits the heavens, and He does according to His will in the heavens and the earth. That's why the gospel is called the glorious gospel of the blessed God, or the gospel of the glory of the blessed God. It glorifies the righteousness of God. You see, dear friend, if you're to stand in His presence, you have to do with a righteous God, one who is holy in every way, who cannot look upon iniquity, cannot have it in His presence. Oh, do you see how that fact alone puts away any thought of my being able to work out a righteousness? I must have a righteousness that is as righteous as God Himself. And the gospel glorifies that righteousness. But it also glorifies His justice. See, this is where I find many contending with God today They'll have a God that they can manipulate. They'll have a God that they can negotiate with. But men refuse and reject the thought of a God who is just. You mean to tell me that God would actually send sinners to hell? Absolutely. He's a just God. If you want an idea, dear friend, of just what God thinks of sin, look what he did with his dear son. He spared not his own son, but he delivered him up for his people, that he might be a just God in saving those that Christ has redeemed. And this is the gospel that is committed to the trust of every faithful preacher. This is how you can tell whether a man is a faithful preacher or not, is the message that he is proclaiming, glorifying God. Does it give God all the glory in this matter of sovereignty, of righteousness, of justice, of redemption? Certainly all thanks and praise and glory belongs to God. And I'm thankful that it pleased God in his time to reveal the truth in me, to reveal his blessed Son in me and give me his Spirit, enabling me to trust him and to serve him. If I'm counted faithful before the Lord God, it's only because he's been faithful to me. It's because of the faithfulness of Christ. It's because by his Spirit he gave me the faith to believe. And that's why, because he's a faithful God, his word is faithful. And I can preach to you today this faithful saying. And here it is, worthy of all acceptation. It's worthy of all acceptation because it suits the needs of all. It suits the needs of the sinner. And it's worthy of all acceptation in the sense that it's to be believed and received. I'm not just speaking this, dear friend, to inform you, certainly not to entertain you, but that you might know on what basis God the Father can show mercy to a sinner such as you are. Now, there are three things I want to observe with regard to this verse here that I'm looking at with you in 1 Timothy 1:15. A faithful saying worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. First, note who came. It says here that Christ Jesus came. Now this is important. You see, all false doctrine, all error proceeds from a low view of who Christ is. If you diminish his person or his work in any way, then you've perverted the gospel. It all starts with this, who he is, who came. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came. Now, who is he? Well, he's God. He's the Lord of glory. Paul speaks over in Corinthians of those that had crucified the Prince of Glory. Why is he the Prince of Glory? Well, from all eternity, he shared the very glory of God. And in becoming a man, that glory was not set aside. It was just covered. It was hidden. He wasn't just a man deified. Scripture says that he would be called Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. So he wasn't just a man deified, nor simply God humanized. But he was the God-man, the perfect man. If you take the time to read certain portions of the epistle to the Hebrews, you'll see how many times it refers to him as the man, the God-man that we're to consider. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, "For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. So consider this man, not just as a man, but as the God-man. You see, he had to be a perfect man in order to stand as a substitute. Now, as God, he could not suffer. And as a mere man, he could not satisfy God the Father. So you see why it's important who came? This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came. He's the Christ, the anointed one. God in the flesh, he's Jesus. That means Jehovah saves. And so, as a man, he could suffer. And as God, he could satisfy. As a man, he identified with sinners. And as God, he identified with the Father. So he's the perfect substitute. And this is why this is a saying worthy of all acceptation because of who he is. But note, secondly, the gospel is worthy of all acceptation because not only of who came, but of the certainty of salvation. You see, it says here in 1 Timothy 1:15 that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It says he came to save. Now let me ask you the question, did he or didn't he? Did he do it or didn't he? Either he satisfied the law of God and paid the sin debt for those that he came to save, or he didn't. Now there's no middle ground here. If Christ left anything undone, then we're undone. You see why this popular message today absolutely holds no water. In fact, it's a lie that Christ came to try to save everybody. That's not what the scripture says. It says this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, who are those sinners that he saved? Everyone that the Father gave him. Now, did he work out a perfect righteousness, a perfect redemption for them? Did he accomplish it? Well, the scripture says he does. In Hebrews 10:14, it says, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." You see, salvation, dear friend, is based upon the Lord Jesus Christ and the work that he accomplished by his life and by his death, having satisfied Almighty God, and thereby saving those that he represents. What he did is sure because of who he is. If he were not both God and man, then I could not be speaking to you right now of salvation in him. But because of who he is the God-man, and because of the work that he accomplished on behalf of his people, I can say to sinners, look to him. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus, the Savior, came into the world to save sinners. And he's done it by his life and by his death. But notice here, thirdly, this gospel is worthy of all acceptation, not only because of who came, because of the certainty of the salvation that it produces, but also because of who he came to save. It says he came to save sinners. Now notice, it just says sinners. It doesn't say big sinners or little sinners, awakened sinners or dead sinners. It says sinners. Salvation is of him. This is where man gets himself in trouble, trying to figure out what kind of sinner he is. Dear friend, you are a sinner by nature. Sin is not what you do, sin is who you are. And left in your sin, you'll only know eternal condemnation, separation from God. But this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation because of who he came to save. He came to save sinners. The more I see of the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, the more I see myself as the chief of sinners. And notice, this is the Apostle Paul speaking here. He's not speaking this at the beginning of his conversion, but he's speaking this toward the end of his life when he says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now in this flesh I never stop being what I am. I am a sinner. And for that reason, I need the grace of God as much today as I ever did. I need the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on my behalf as much as I ever did. But I'm thankful that he came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." I can identify with that. I know my heart. And I know what I am by nature. But by his grace, I also know who he is, as the Savior, as the Redeemer, as the Substitute, the Lord, my righteousness. And it's only in him that I have hope of being accepted of God. Dear friend, the God of the Bible says, "I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it." This is the reason why this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, because of who has said it. There are no half-finished plans or sketches in God's portfolio. His purposes and plans are eternal and complete. And with infinite wisdom, determination, and ability, he is working all things after the counsel of his own will. He has not, he will not, and cannot turn back nor turn aside from any purpose or work, because he is God. You see why this is a faithful saying? That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, even the chief of sinners. No wonder the believer cries out in praise unto his God, saying, "Great is thy faithfulness." That's why old Abraham and Sarah could believe that they would have a child in their old age and look forward to that day with a confident and sure hope. It says, "Abraham considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." You'll find that in Romans 4:17-25. "And Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Why? Because she judged him faithful," not myself, but him faithful who had promised. Hebrews 11:11. Dear friend, God's faithfulness in the Lord Jesus Christ and saving sinners is worthy of and deserves our unwavering confidence and trust. Dear friend, you must look to Christ alone for righteousness, justification, and life. Look to him and not to yourself, to his faithfulness and not to your faith. And may God enable you to shout in praise unto him, "Great is thy faithfulness."
As this broadcast draws to a close, let me leave you with these few thoughts. When people ask me about our church, I ask them, "What are you looking for?" We believe that the true church consists of sinners chosen out of the world by God's electing grace, redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ, and called irresistibly by the Holy Spirit through the faithful preaching of the gospel. The members are those who, by God-given faith, have confessed the one true Christ in water immersion, who faithfully attend and give as God has prospered them, and walk in that grace to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our times of worship encourage families to come together in one place to praise the one sovereign triune God through hymns, spiritual songs, prayer, and the preaching and teaching of the written word of our sovereign Lord. If you'd like more information about our regular worship services, or would like a copy of this message,
please call
318-834-4395.